Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery with host Jane Marquis, MD. In this episode, we have a special guest, Carrie Schmidt, who will take us on an inspiring journey from pain and struggle to triumph and empowerment. Carrie's own story is a testament to the transformative power of the mind and subconscious programming. Carrie shares her personal experiences of facing challenges head on and realizing that her own mindset was holding her back. Motivated by her own transformation, she founded Infinite Solutions, a platform dedicated to helping others overcome their obstacles and unlock their true potential. Carrie's remarkable journey led her to write a book titled Beyond the Screen, a 7-step guide to live with power, passion, and purpose. In her book, she reveals the profound impact of recognizing the programming that holds us back and guides readers on a transformative journey toward personal growth and fulfillment. Through her message, Carrie emphasizes that no matter the circumstance, anyone can overcome their challenges by acknowledging the subconscious programming that limits their progress and by embracing a mindset of growth and resiliency. She inspires us to step out of our comfort zones and into a realm of possibility and action. Tune into this episode of Meltdown to Mastery as we engage in a captivating conversation with Carrie, delving into her story of pain, struggle, perseverance, and ultimate triumph. Get ready to be inspired and empowered as you discover the incredible potential within yourself to rewrite your own story and live a life of power, passion, and purpose. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Carrie.
Hey, it's so nice to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. And we were just talking about how aligned we are. I think we're going to have a great conversation about the unconscious mind, which is your favorite subject, I think.
I agree. Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me how you got so interested in this. Usually it comes from our own story, right? Where we realize that we've got something holding us back and you know, figure out it's some programming that happened when we were young. But what's your story about becoming so passionate about teaching people about their own power, passion, and purpose?
You know, I was kind of at a point in my life where I was looking for more. And I say I went on a spiritual journey to kind of find my truth and my power. After many years of having, I would say I suppressed a lot of emotions from my past. So I actually went through the Dream Builder program with Mary Morrissey and the Brave Thinking Institute. From there, I went out to Los Angeles to one of her events, and I decided to enroll in her Life Mastery Certification Program. Because prior to that, I had started looking up life coaches, and I started to listening to podcasts of Tony Robbins, and I love Dr. Wayne Dyer, Gabrielle Bernstein, all of the kind of transformational leaders. And I started to listen and really kind of learn more about the power of our mind. I read a book by Dr. Joe Dispenza called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And that was probably the biggest, most impactful book that I ever read that teaches you about the power of your subconscious programming. And so all of that kind of coupled together, I really sought out all the information on my own. And then once I realized that, wow, we're programmed, we have these faulty programs running in the back of our mind, then that's really when I started to dive deeper into this work. And, you know, I said, I want to write a book. I want to tell my stories because I went through a lot of things as a young girl and teenager. There wasn't a lot of support for me back then. And my goal through the book was to share my stories of pain, struggle, perseverance to teach other people, especially women, that you can overcome any condition or circumstance when you step into a place where you're willing to try. And it's just been a transformational journey.
Yeah, lovely. I mean, I think once you realize that it is just a program and that you have control over it, if you get in and can see what's causing the harm, then it empowers you immediately because you're not stuck in this, you know, perpetual wheel of belief, right?
That's right. I mean, awareness is what gives us power. It gives us power to see our life from, stepping back and taking, you know, an objective approach to just viewing out our life without interacting with it. I like to say emotions are like the language of the universe. You know, we have these emotions to express, but we're not taught how to deal with our emotions. And I think that's one of the best things we can do is implement emotional intelligence in elementary school and middle school and high school. It should be like a curriculum that's programmed in there because we just are so unaware of the power that we breathe and what we can do.
Yeah, true. And like, if we realized how we are programmed through the five senses when we're very young. And it's just to teach us how the world works, right? So we can survive. But when, I always make the example of if you're very young and you first see an apple, you know how kids will lick it, smell it, taste it, and, then they piece together that that's an apple. Mm-hmm. But if we have a program running where our safety depends on reacting in a certain way because of what something that happened when we were small, then that can start to cause havoc later in life. So did you have a breaking point where you were like, okay, this is definitely a problem and I've got to fix it?
Yeah, I've been single for half of my life. it's a funny story. So I raised my son on my own since he was born. He's now 15. So I was 25 years old when I had my son. And I've had to do it all on my own. So prior to my son's birth, I was in a relationship for 9 years. That relationship was with a man that my family didn't agree with me dating. So my family disowned me. And prior to the disownment of my family, my parents got divorced. So I think that my program was stuck on like trying to find stability and trying to find somebody to love me and just, you know, be there as a support system because I really never had that. So to make a real long story short, an abusive 9-year relationship, just not a good story all the way around. And my son's birth was like a wake up call to me to show me that there's so much more to life than just, you know, what we deal with. When you have, you know, a newborn infant or a child, you now have to put your self aside and care for them. And that's really what I did. I focused the first 3 to 4 years on my son and my career growth and nothing else. I didn't date. I didn't, you know, do a lot of things. And then when I did start dating, it was kind of like the first red flag, I would feel this like gut, like, you know, and I would just say, lose my phone number. So it was like, what I started to notice in myself was I had this unconscious reaction the first time I got indication of a red flag, and it was like, run, you know? So I realized this is a defense mechanism that I have. And it developed from my teenage years and from going through a lot of pain and struggle from my past in relationships and just trying to survive. So when I was writing this book, I had started to date someone who I believe is my soulmate, and I believe that we were meant to meet in this life. And that relationship has taught me so much about myself and even writing the system of transformation that I talk about in my book, because I had to overcome my own unconscious behavior patterns. I have to, you know, work on not shutting down or running away or pushing him away, because that's what I'm programmed to do. So I'm actually still working through this programming of my own to stop sabotaging relationships in my life today. And I realized that by becoming aware that this is just a subconscious program that was installed to protect me. Mm-hmm. As a defense, a survival mechanism when I was younger. But now, as a 40-year-old woman, it's not serving me. So I have to find a way to, you know, override that program and process and release the emotions from the past so they don't continue to show up in my life now.
Yeah. And the way programs work, and like you're explaining, is that you have this gut reaction that's a survival reaction. There's no real thought involved. You just run, right? And then right. Later you're like, whoa, maybe I could handle that differently, but it's a survival mechanism. So it's like what you do unconsciously, right?
Yes. And you have to, somebody once told me, your emotions don't think. Emotions don't have emotions don't have any logic.
Yeah.
So you feel them immediately. And so therefore you react.
Right. But, and I think I had a teacher explain to me that emotion is, I think, 2 seconds faster than thought, than yep. conscious thought. So it comes in much faster than the thinking mind. So yeah.
And yes. For me, it's like, I just shut down, you know, I feel this like overwhelming sense of unease or unsteadiness. And it's like your blood just flows and, you know, I just yeah. either shut down or want to run away or, you know, fight or flight.
Right. For me, it's like if someone asks me a question that is presented in a certain way, it brings me right back to when I was maybe 5 or 6 years old and a teacher would ask you a question in a certain way. And so my mind will go completely blank. Like there is no hope of answering that question.
So, you know, what boggles my mind is how powerful this programming is, but yeah. also how many people in our world are unaware that they have this program. Yeah. And, you know, just anybody listening, you don't have to stay stuck in a faulty program. Like that's the most amazing part. That's why I do what I do. And I wrote the book is to teach people that you can get out of that way of thinking. You can change your way of thinking. You can change your way of feeling and reprogram your mind to harness what it is you desire and what you want versus what you fear.
Yeah. So yeah, the first thing is to recognize it, and then it can have a layer on it, right? Because you can't answer the question, you're then called stupid. So you say to yourself, oh, I'm stupid. Or, you know, if you can't keep a boyfriend, oh, I'm ugly, right? Mm-hmm. So just recognizing it and starting to peel it away is really important. So I love your story.
Thank you. Yeah, that's actually the first step in my 7-step system is to tag it. That's to identify or become aware that I have an unconscious behavior pattern.
Yeah. So step one, do you want to run through the 7 steps?
Yeah, I'd love to.
And then of course, people could pick up your book, right? But sure. Yeah, we'll just briefly run through them.
Okay. So you have a life timeline. So I call this the 7-step system. Life timeline system of transformation. So it's from birth until today, this present moment. So today I can tag step 1, become aware of my unconscious behavior pattern. I'm 40 years old, so I have this pattern. And then I can go back and remember. Step two is to remember it. Remember, when was the first time I was introduced to this way of thinking, this concept, or this behavior? And more times than not, it's exhibited or picked up from someone else, whether a caretaker, teacher, somebody in your environment. So you remember it. So you just go back and remember what happened, and you become aware that this program was installed at, you know, let's just say 8 years old. So for me, my parents got divorced when I was 8 years old. So I identify on my life timeline that this is the first time I had a feeling of instability or insecurity, or, you know, feeling unloved or not being stable. And so then step three is to feel it. So what we don't realize is everything's energy, and emotions are simply energy in motion, or they can become stuck energy. And I think that as children, we are not taught how to deal with our emotions. So instead of feeling the emotions that may need to be felt at that point in time, we suppress them, we bottle them up, you know, whatever it may be, they're not properly processed. Yeah. Step four is to flip it. We also walk through life with our blinders on and usually only see one perspective. Sometimes you have to flip the perspective and see the situation from another viewpoint. You know, if it's looking at a caretaker that may have done something or was the contributor to this programming, flip your perspective and try to see things through their eyes. You know, maybe they're carrying out their own faulty programs, because what we do is we pass this programming down from generation to generation, a certain way of thinking, a belief system. And the person may not know any better. You know, it may be the only thing they've been introduced to, or maybe that trauma happened to them. Whatever the case may be, sometimes we just have to flip our perspective to see it from a different lens and, you know, try to look for any silver lining in the situation if possible. Step five is to release the suppressed emotions. And this is the biggest part. And this takes time. This system of transformation does not happen overnight. I like to say it's a lifelong work that you just continue to do. So you have to go through and release those repressed emotions. And I talk about ways to do that. There's hypnotherapy, there's journaling, meditation, exercise. There's a lot of different things that you can do. But if you have a faulty program that's been running for more than 30 years, just know that it can take some time. And if it's been serious trauma that happened to you, I always suggest get professional help, because these are bottled up emotions that have not been released and they need to be. So sometimes you might need help doing that.
Yeah.
Step six is to reprogram. And this is where it gets fun. It's to define what it is you really want. What would you like to replace that behavior with? Because any type of change, you have to replace the behavior. You can't just ask it to go away. You have to reprogram or repattern your mind. And this is actually neuroplasticity, is basically rewiring your brain to think and feel in a different way. So, you know, I help my clients get really clear on what it is they want, and then basically build a blueprint in their mind's eye, imagine it to the most detailed perspective of what it is you want. And then step seven is to resonate. Everything's energy. So you must resonate in the energy of that which you want to attract, or that goal or dream that you want to manifest. You have to become the person who's living it now. So it's essentially taking those steps every single day to become aware, to repattern your way of thinking, to show up as that person who is full of happiness, peace, and joy. So it's really, it's a super powerful system. It works. I've been applying it to my life, and have many clients who apply it to their lives. And it's a beautiful thing when you can overcome and then step into your power, passion, and purpose.
Yeah. I think we're on the cusp of becoming the master creators that we're meant to be, and that this kind of information is so important for people to realize. I think our mind is capable, connected with our heart, capable of creating so much. But if there's that glitch of a program that stops us from truly believing, like you say, yep, resonating with what you want, then that's what holds you back.
I agree completely. And that's why I just think it's so important for people to speak up and to share this information, because they don't broadcast it on the nightly news.
No, there's no broadcasting.
No.
Yeah. And I often wonder if, you know, some of this information hasn't been kept from us for a reason, but how do you help people recognize their stuck programs, where they're stuck? Can you give us some aids that would help people recognize them?
Yeah. I mean, just kind of thinking about what triggers you. What are some of your triggers? What makes you emotionally unstable? And just kind of what I like to say is just start this week by noticing what you're noticing. Start to notice your thoughts, start to notice your way of thinking. And I mean, here's the deal. We think over 60,000 thoughts on a daily basis. 80% are negative and 95% are from the past. So if you can start to become aware of your way of thinking within certain situations around certain people, then you can start to see how those thoughts make you feel, because the thoughts create the feelings. So if you start to notice what thoughts create certain feelings, and especially negative feelings or negative emotions that are negatively contributing to the results in your life, that is the first thing, is to start to notice that. You know, take a journal and just for 1 week, start to write down and journal anything that you notice that is showing up for you, that is causing you to react to certain situations in a negative way. Now, this might be at work. You know, it might be a boss or a coworker that triggers you. What is the trigger? Like, when you get triggered, what was your way of thinking in that moment? And start to take note of that. Write it down in your journal. You know, and then the second week, once you've really paid attention to your way of thinking, start to pay attention to those feelings associated with those thoughts. It's really raising your awareness in every present moment. But we, as human beings, have become so conditioned to just go through the motions of life that we're not even conscious half the time. We're just running through the same steps. You know, we go to work and we do the same thing. We come home, we do the same thing, but then we're not really noticing our patterns.
Yeah.
So it's really raising your awareness in every moment. Start to pay attention to the thoughts that are going through your head. And start to take note of the negative ones, and then start to get curious about it. Why? Why does this feeling make me feel this way?
Yeah. Triggers are really interesting, aren't they?
Yes.
What I've learned is that, say we had a really stressful situation where we were, this is really exaggerated, but say we were captive and we had water pouring on our head at gunpoint, and it was for, you know, life or death. And we were extremely traumatized by this. But what we don't realize is that someone could have been smoking in the room, and there could have been a piece of red paper thrown into a paper, waste paper basket in the far corner while this was happening. And that just the smell of smoke, or just the color red, could also trigger us. And so we fall into these patterns, and we're walking down the street and perfectly happy. And then suddenly someone throws a red piece of paper into the waste paper basket, and immediately we go back into it, right?
Yeah.
So they're complex.
Mm-hmm.
And just realizing that, though, that, oh, it could be something that is completely out of my awareness that's causing this, is also enlightening. Yeah. Have you ever, have you ever experienced that? I've had days where I'm like completely in this great mood and then something will happen and I'm completely unaware that it's connected to my reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot for me, I'm an empath. So I feel other people's emotions and I can get very connected. And sometimes I notice that I need to kind of come back to my center and ground myself because I can get kind of lost in the feeling of others. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we become almost triggered by what someone else is feeling, which is very true too, right? Mm-hmm. We're all connected, so we can easily pick up on what other people are feeling. So it's tricky, isn't it?
It's very tricky. But one thing that I will say is a positive is once you do this work and you start to recognize your own patterns, you'll be able to start to recognize other people's patterns. You know, you'll start to become aware of so many different perspectives. And that's kind of what I try to do in my book Behind the Screen is kind of show you so many different ways of looking through the lens of life.
Yeah. And how does that empower us, Carrie? That's really interesting.
You know, I think sometimes we get so caught up in the moment and in our own emotions that we forget to reflect from the other person's viewpoint. You know, sometimes sometimes we don't listen to listen. We listen to talk, or we don't, you know, we want to talk. Everybody's so like me, and my feelings. But, you know, sometimes you have to put that aside and see it from the other person's perspective. You know, what are they struggling with? What are their emotional triggers? What's showing up for them as they're contributing, you know, to this scenario? And just trying to see it from another person's perspective can give us so much insight to help us navigate the situation from a more strategic approach.
Right. So we don't take it as personally too.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. And again, all of this that I'm saying, I am doing and applying to my own self to get better at, you know, developing and cultivating lasting relationships.
Yeah. Do you have an example? I was just thinking of, you know, you have the
my son, you know, in parenting, being a single parent, I've always had a hard time drawing the line between discipline and love. Hmm. You know, it's like, you can't do both, but I have to. So I always, you know, I would yell at my son and get frustrated. And, you know, just in researching this and understanding the system, I can now pause. And instead of yelling or getting upset, I can be more calm and collected in the situation when trying to explain to him my viewpoint and my perspective, because he doesn't see it. And I finally noticed this, but sometimes as parents, we don't realize this and we just expect things from our kids and we might yell at them or tell them to do something. And, you know, we always say, because I said so, you know, they'll say, because I said so, because I'm the parent. But sometimes we need to give them a little bit more context into the situation of why this is important and why I'm expecting you to do this. So I think that we can get so caught up in our day and in the busyness of life in, you know, the century that we're in. It's just, everybody's rushing. But I think we really do need to slow down and start to be more conscious and aware of our own actions and reactions, our own perspective, as well as other people's perspectives, so that we can make better decisions, cultivate better lasting relationships, and really find the peace that we deserve.
Yeah, I really like that. I forget when it dawned on me too, to look at my kids' perspective. they really hadn't done this before and really didn't understand why, right?
Right.
It's like a light bulb goes off. But again, it's nothing that we're taught.
Exactly.
Right? So it's fair enough.
So we're just, you know, we're driving this really important vehicle through life ourselves, not understanding how to effectively operate our vehicle when we have these sensations that come from emotions and these emotional triggers that cause us to react in certain ways. We're not taught how to effectively operate our life.
Yeah, our operating system.
Right. I mean, we have this complex, amazing body. Like the power of our mind, body, soul connection is just incredible. When you do research and you dive down the rabbit hole, it's like, wow, I just can't believe this. Why don't they teach this to people? But then it gives you more power, I think. In situations. And when there's more power, then people that have a lot of power will start to get scared.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
because if you think of a very controlling, abusive parent, they don't want the child to realize that they're a powerful human being, you know,
right.
They want to keep control of them. So they only give them limited amounts of information.
That's right.
So let's jump into what you teach people to start to affirm what they want in life and be the creators. What do you teach them then?
Clarity is power. So you can't get to your dream, vision, or goal. You have to come from it. So how you come from that is to have it as crystal clear in your mind's eye as you can possibly do. So I take my clients through a time machine exercise and say, okay, 3 years from now, we're going to come back to today. And, you know, you have accomplished everything that you want. You're living the life of your dreams. You're doing everything that you want to do. Tell me what that is and get crystal clear about it. I mean, you got to design a blueprint. Like if you would want a builder to build a house, you have to design your dream or goal with as much detail as possible. And I mean, five sense it. So you want to see yourself, feel yourself, hear yourself, smell yourself, and taste everything in your environment 3 years from now of what you're doing. And you have to define it to the nth degree that you possibly can. And then you need to speak that out loud every single day. So when I'm in the shower, driving the car, I'm speaking my vision, but I'm always starting my vision with, I am so happy and grateful. Why? Because gratitude raises your vibrational frequency, and everything in the universe is energy, and there's polarities and there's ways to attract things to you because we're basically tuning forks in the universe, and whatever channel we are programmed to is what we're going to tune into. And what is even crazier is I have managed engineering groups and everything. If you look at energy, electricity, vibration, it all makes so much sense because when you listen to a radio, you have to tune to a certain vibrational frequency. When you're tuning in your TV or cell phone or whatever the device is nowadays to tune into something, it's tuning into a certain frequency. The same is with our bodies. We are spiritual, energetic beings having a human experience. We can tune our vibration, our energy to certain levels, and really raise awareness to what it is we want. The other thing is our reticular activating system, which a lot of people might not know of, but it's a part of your brain that filters into your awareness what you pay attention to. So where you place your attention is where your energy goes, and that's what you'll get back in return through your awareness or your consciousness. So it's teaching people how to really define what they want and focus on it every single day, multiple times a day, because when you do that, you're creating a picture in your mind, and your mind is an electrical signal, basically. And those impulses generate feelings. This is how we become programmed. The thoughts create the feelings in our body. Your subconscious program remembers that. So that's a long-term program. So when you can, what you start to do is reprogram a new way of thinking and feeling into your body, but you have to do it consistently day after day, several times throughout the day. And then you have to do it consistently for months. And there's a 2190 rule, 21 days to break a habit, 90 days to reprogram a new way of thinking and behaving. So that's why most coaching programs are 12 weeks or 3 months. Because you have to do this repetition of thinking and feeling till it becomes a new program or a new way of, you know, your subconscious remembering this. And then just always remembering that you have to resonate in the energy now. So I say, I'm going to be interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. And I believe that 100,000,000%. I've formed it in my mind's eye. I'm going to be sitting in her garden in Maui with her, and I can hear her voice and I can see her asking me the questions. I can see myself answering her and being recorded. Like, I can see this and I don't doubt it. So the other thing that we do is we doubt our dreams, or we fear the outcome, and that kind of cancels the opportunity in the universe. So we're already self-sabotaging our own dreams and goals by doubting, fearing, or worrying about the outcome. What you have to do is put the how on hold, define it, and take action every single day to work towards it. When the fear, doubt, and worry, what I like to call the three dream killers, show up, you befriend it, befriend your fear. You know, it's always going to be there. You can notice it, but you don't have to engage in it. You don't have to pay it attention. You can say, oh, hey, fear, I see you, but it's okay because my faith is way more powerful. And just continue to take a baby step. And just that, if you follow those steps, you will see miracles happen. Opportunities will come out of nowhere. But you have to start paying attention to it. See, that's the thing is where you pay attention and what you place your attention to is what you'll see.
Well, well done. I love it.
Yeah.
Right? So beautiful. And sometimes when that doubt is there, it's that little glitch, you know, you can feel it in your body and maybe recognize that it comes from programming. Shine light on it and tell it, no, you have no power over me anymore.
That's right. You're a figment of my program, and you're a past figment because I am rewiring. I'm in the rewiring phase.
Right. I'm rewiring into the new me.
That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, we may have programs that say, oh, that's, you know, that's too selfish. And that can come from parents that taught you that. So just to be aware. But I wholeheartedly loved everything you said, Carrie. Beautiful.
Thank you.
So tell people how to find your book and how to connect with you. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. So you can go to my website is carrie-schmidt.com, and you can find some links to, there's a complimentary strategy session. If you're interested in learning what it looks like to work with me, you can book that, a 30-minute complimentary strategy session. There's a tab on my website to go to the book. It's also available on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon Behind the Screen by Carrie Schmidt, you'll see it. And I would love for you to grab a copy. My heart and soul is poured out onto these pages of this book. And I tell things that I didn't tell my best friend. I tell more in this book than most people know about me. But I do that because I want to reach people who are out there feeling stuck, feeling unloved, feeling like they're so tired of fighting a losing battle, because I was there and I can relate to those feelings. And I was able to overcome that. So I teach people how they can overcome that too.
Yeah. And we're not alone, right?
We're not alone.
Programming is part of being human, and it's never perfect.
That's right. And nobody is perfect. You can't expect perfection, but you can make a conscious effort every day to show up as your true authentic self. Beautiful. And I think that's all we really need to do is just show up as our true authentic self, let down the mask and the facade and, you know, everything. It's one of two, it's ego or spirit, and just choose to connect with the spirit, the positive side versus the negative egoic side. And if we do that, every one of us, we can make this world a better place.
Yes. Amen. Thank you so much, Carrie. That was beautiful.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
And for everyone out there, don't forget, don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. Spiral up, spiral out.
And remember, don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. You can find more inspiring episodes on 14 different platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, and empoweredhealth.com. Be a part of Thrive Tribes. Be the change in Thrivevolution at thrivetribehub.com. And join me and my fellow changemakers at Health Tribe, Body, Mind, and Soul on Facebook. Spiral up, spiral out.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There is one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.